We talk a lot around here about the True Woman movement. And in case you hadn't noticed, ever since True Woman 08, when we started using more of that terminology, and we put out the True Woman Manifesto, the fire started, it heated up in the blogosphere. If you go look for True Woman or True Woman movements, you'll find some really kind and warm things being said. You'll also find some really unkind things being said, because it's rattled up some controversy and all kinds, including some who would say, you know, what are you talking about, a movement? What is, you know, it like, what do you have to do to be a true woman? And just some people who have different perspectives on all this. So I just want to share a little bit of my heart for what that means to me. Ever since the, it was 1997 when I read Mary Cassian's book, The Feminist Mistake, that I began to see, God began to stir in my heart to believe him for a movement of revival and reformation in the hearts of Christian women. And I've pondered that a lot, and I don't know all of what God has in his heart for that. There are many days since then when I thought, did I really want to sign up for this? But as we've been reminded this weekend, God has assignments for us. And joy comes from embracing the calling and saying, yes, Lord, I will receive what you have for me, whatever that means. The director of Life Action Ministries, our parent ministry, I heard speak recently, and it was actually at a Revive Our Hearts event, and he took us to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I wish we had time to unpack this, because it really spoke to me as I was listening to him talk about Revive Our Hearts and the True Woman movement. And he took us to the passage about Pentecost, the origin, the founding of the church, which is the movement of all movements in God's economy. And then he reminded us that as we're believing God for a movement of revival, that every revival is really something of an echo of Pentecost. It's not another Pentecost, but it's an echo of Pentecost. And he took us through the first two chapters of Acts to see some of the characteristics of that first century movement that so changed the world, some of the ingredients of an authentic movement of God. And he pointed out that the characteristics we see in the birthing of the church are characteristics of the movement we are believing God to birth in the hearts of women across this country and around the world. And I'm not going to walk through that passage. Let me just tick off a few of the characteristics he pointed out. And it really spoke to my heart. First of all, he said, movements start by not moving. And the basis for that was in chapter 1, where it talks about how after Jesus ascended into heaven, he told them to go back to Jerusalem and to wait for the Spirit to be poured out. And so they went to that upper room, and what were they doing there? They were waiting, and while they were waiting, they were praying. And it says that the disciples were there, Jesus' mother Mary was there, the other women who had been with Jesus. We know there were about 120 who were gathered together in that first fledgling congregation that became the church. And that movement began by waiting, by not moving. And it's a reminder that every revival movement is birthed not in a flurry of activity or programs or efforts, but by waiting on the Lord. And as you go back to your church and you're asking God to birth a movement of revival and reformation and biblical womanhood in the life of your church, remember that. God may just want you to go get two or three other women, or to ask the pastor and the elders, depending on your church setup there, but to say, we want to start as a group of women just praying for revival. And how would you want us to pray? Perhaps ask the pastor if he would like to participate in that, or in some way give direction to it. God will direct you. It may just be you and one other person. It may be you and the person you just exchanged prayer cards with who lives in a different state. But you're going to be praying over these next 30 days for God to birth a movement of revival. We also see in Acts 1 and 2 that an authentic movement of God's Spirit is word-driven. The message that Peter gave there on the day of Pentecost, 40% of that message is Old Testament scripture. It's word-driven. It's Christ-exalting. It requires the supernatural power of the Spirit. You don't manufacture movements. A movement, a spiritual movement, is God moving in and among his people. So you can't make it happen. But what we can do is set our sails to catch the wind from heaven, as one old-time writer said, when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. Another characteristic he pointed out is that movements are messy. And remember that when you go back to your church. It's not all smooth sailing. This true woman movement has had some unwieldiness to it. And at points we're going, this is like crazy. There's so much going on, and a lot of it's good. Most of it's good. Some of it's a little weird. And how do you make sure that you keep your moorings biblically, that others do, but you're not trying to, you don't want to over-control, over-manage? These are the things you're going to have to deal with in your church as you're believing God for revival. Remember that movements can be messy, and all that can be seen in the book of Acts. But then I just want to read a paragraph in Acts chapter 2 where we see a description of three concepts that have been underpinnings for the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. You hear us use, in fact, you see it in our byline on our homepage. We're calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. And I want to unpack those words for a few minutes here, and let me set it up by reading in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38. This comes from Peter's message. Actually, it's after Peter's message. He preaches, then the people are cut to the heart, it says in the ESV. When we were naming Revive Our Hearts, I thought that would have been an interesting title for this ministry, Cut to the Heart Ministry. Well, we called it Revive Our Hearts, but sometimes you don't get your heart revived until it's been cut, right? It says they were cut to the heart. Some of your translation says they were pricked to the heart. And they said, what must we do? And so Peter, in his response, says to them in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There's a picture of freedom. Freedom, the freedom that flows out of repentance and obedience and forgiveness of sins, freedom. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, fullness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we're believing God for and wanting. Listen, there's been so much about true womanhood, biblical womanhood, that people think is legalistic. They think it's miserable. And we need to be able to show women that, and the world, that true womanhood is the most joyful, blessed way to live. Fullness. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 49, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And then verse 41, there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Fruitfulness. Freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. And let me just park on those for a few moments here. First, this matter of freedom. We need to remember that freedom is rooted in truth. Jesus is the truth. True freedom is not the freedom to do what you want to do. It's not the freedom to do what you feel like doing. It's the freedom by God's grace to live as a child of God in accordance with his law and his ways. Again, I've been memorizing and meditating in Psalm 119, and I'm just amazed at how the psalmist says he loves the law of God. He says, my heart is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Wouldn't you love your teenagers to say that? Longing for his rules. There's a freedom that comes when the Holy Spirit fulfills the righteousness of Christ in us. There's a freedom through knowing Christ, who is the truth. There's a freedom through knowing God's word, which is truth. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Psalm 119, verse 45. So I was thinking about this whole weekend. Somebody sent me this week a set of an email with a set of old ads in it, and the title was "You'll Never See These Ads Again." And as I looked at these ads, I'm going to show some of them to you here. I'm just reminded that the world has a lot of messages about women and to women, and it communicates them perpetually. Look at some of these old ads. Here's one for, these are ads you'll never see again. Here's one for Total Cereal. It says, keep up with the house while you keep down your weight. Total watches your vitamins while you watch your weight. Here's another one for a Hoover vacuum cleaner. Christmas morning. She'll be happier with a Hoover. You won't see that ad again. Here's another one. Wives in big print. Now here's the small print. Look this ad over carefully. Circle the items you want for Christmas. And there are about 10 appliances pictured there. Show it to your husband. If he does not go to the store immediately, cry a little. Not a lot, just a little. He'll go, he'll go. And then it says, husbands, at the bottom, look this ad over carefully. Pick out what your wife wants. Go buy it before she starts to cry. Here's another one from the Soda Pop Board of America. For a better start in life, start cola earlier. Now listen to what it says. It says, how soon is too soon? Not soon enough. Laboratory tests over the last few years have proven that babies who start drinking soda in that early formative period have a much higher chance of gaining acceptance and fitting in during those awkward preteen and teen years. You didn't know that. So do yourself a favor. Do your child a favor. Start them on a strict regimen of sodas and other sugary carbonated beverages right now for a lifetime of guaranteed happiness. And finally, I couldn't resist this one. Okay, there's a lot of small print there. This is an old, old ad. It looks like, I don't know from when, early 20th century maybe. It says, eat, 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 and always stay thin. Fat, the enemy that is shortening your life, banished. How? With sanitized tapeworms. Jar packed. Easy to swallow. No ill effects. Well, you say, what does that have to do with the true woman movement? Nothing really, except that the world has a lot of messages to and about women. And here's the thing, there's a desperate need for truth in women's lives to get them to the Word of God. Satan is out to deceive, he's out to destroy, he's out to keep women in bondage. You may have seen that recent Barna report on religious changes in America over the past 20 years, a survey from 1991 to 2011. And here was a paragraph that really stood out to me in that lengthier study. He said, no population group among the 60 segments examined has gone through more spiritual changes in the past two decades than women. Over the last two decades, women have become less likely to hold orthodox views of God as the all-knowing creator and ruler of the universe. They read their Bibles less, and they regard it as less reliable, and they consider their faith less important in their lives over 20 years. That's the trajectory we're on. If we want to see women experience freedom in Christ, we've got to get them to the Word. We've got to get them taking in God's truth. Put it like an IV into their arms. Get it in every way that you can. Freedom and then fullness. We want women to understand not just that biblical womanhood is right, but also that it's good. It's beautiful. It's desirable. Satan wants to steal that. And every way, place that God has a plan to bless women, Satan has a counter plan to take that truth away from them. So our message is a message not just of freedom in Christ, but also fullness. We want women to see and experience in us. Can I just give like one little simple word of counsel somebody gave me years ago? I've never said this in a message. I was speaking, I was in my early 20s and doing a women's conference, and one of the men associated with the ministry I'm part of happened to be in the back for part of that seminar. And I said to him later, do you have any suggestions? And he said, you need to smile more. And that little piece of counsel was, what, 30-some years ago, and I have found that you can say almost anything to women or to whoever you're dealing, your teenager, your kids, if you'll smile more. If you'll just do it in a winsome and gracious way. And some of you are really serious-minded women. And when we're talking, we're not looking at ourselves, but others are. And just warmth. We want people to see the fullness, the joy of life in Christ. And then fruitfulness. And I want to take just a few minutes here. Fruitfulness in Christ. We're believing God for a grassroots movement of women, of Christian women, who reflect the beauty of Christ, who are filled with His Spirit, and who are committed to live out the implications of the gospel in their homes, their churches, their workplace, and their communities. And what would that look like? Well, I don't have three fancy points here, but let me just give you some ramblings off of my notes about what that would look like. I think it would look like women in our churches who were known as women of purity, humility, love, faith, and wisdom. I think it would mean women who are praying fervently, individually and corporately, for genuine revival in the church. When I think of that grassroots movement, I think of thousands of local church women's ministries that are structured and equipped and resourced to nurture and train godly women using biblical models and principles. Local church women's ministries, and that's why we've done this event this weekend. We didn't know how this would go, and we didn't know what kind of interest there would be in it. We didn't know how it would be received, and I just want to say thank you for encouraging us to know that there are women out there, pastors' wives, women's ministry leaders, who say this is the kind of movement we want to see taking place in our church. I received a couple of really encouraging emails recently from women who are here this weekend. I met Kelly Bledsoe last night from Alexandria, Louisiana. And a woman in her church wrote me recently and said, "I'm writing to tell you of a revival in the hearts of women at my church. Our women's ministry leader, Kelly Bledsoe, told me about Revive Our Hearts at the beginning of the summer. She's now told all of our small group leaders, and everyone I come into contact with at church is buzzing about it. This year, our church started a women's small group Bible study, and we had over 225 ladies sign up. This next year, it looks like we'll be using the Brokenness Trilogy, Brokenness, Holiness, and Surrender, that's available in the Resource Center. We'll be using that in our small groups. Listen, I want to tell you what, that's not easy sledding. That's not come and feel good teaching. Until you've got brokenness and holiness and surrender, that feels really good. But while you're in the process, that's not popular stuff. But here's a young women's ministry leader who's got the courage and the faith to say, this is how we want to train our women. The woman in her church said, we often laugh and say, God is up to something. Another lady, Trudy, I met last night from Spokane, and she said, I'm so excited about attending the Revive Conference next week, along with others on our women's ministry team. I oversee events, and I'm praying about a True Woman DVD conference in the spring. I've been talking to our elders and pastoral staff about the True Woman Manifesto. I can't tell you how heavy the True Woman message is on my heart. I need it. The women at our church need it, as well as the women in Spokane, Washington. We need to know the truth that Satan has distorted and hid. I want to be a Deborah, courageously going against the flow, she said. I'm praying that God would clearly move and direct me as I proceed. Well, I love getting those emails and seeing how God is birthing this kind of movement in local church ministries. We want them to be ministries that are a reflection of the principles of Titus 2, that so that we're motivating and mobilizing and resourcing women to teach other women what is good, to teach that to their children, to teach younger women, to teach peers. There are 77 million baby boomers. And the first wave of those baby boomers has retired in the last few years. A lot of those, they're empty nesters now. Something is going to capture their hearts. And wouldn't it be great if instead of just spending the rest of their years playing bridge or golf or traveling and retiring and just having a good old time, or many of them going back to work, not because they have to, but because they're bored. Wouldn't it be a great thing if those Christian empty nest women would be deployed as Titus 2 women? This is something we need to make a matter of prayer and seek to mobilize those women. And then as I think about this true woman movement, I think about a host of women whose hearts have been revived, who are actively involved in ministries of mercy and compassion, both in local hands-on efforts, such as pregnancy care centers, crisis pregnancy centers, and in ways also that minister grace to needy and oppressed women around the world. I hope you had a chance to stop and visit with our exhibitors, two of whom I just want to mention here, Women at Risk and Sisters in Service. These are two ministries that you want to get acquainted with, who are, and partner with it, give to them, do whatever you can to encourage and get your women aware of, you know, we're the wealthiest culture in the world, even in the midst of an economic downturn. And yet, miserable, griping, complaining, whining, depressed, discouraged. If we could just get out of ourselves and see how so much of the rest of the world lives, women and the rest of the world. This is part of a holistic mission and vision, is giving women a vision for the women of the world that God loves, and believing that God to get the gospel to them. So freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ. We're believing God for a counter-cultural revolution, so that the gospel of God, as Titus 2 says, will be adorned. We're believing God for women who truly know Christ, who have saving faith. And by the way, as we were praying toward this event, I heard it several times. People prayed and said, Lord, it's likely there will be some at this event who have religion but do not have Jesus. Would you save them? And since I heard that prayed several times, I think I need to mention it. You may have come with a ministry position, but without Christ. You've got to know Christ. And women who are consistently growing to be more like him, who are surrendering to his reign and rule, who are actively engaged in influencing others to do the same. Now, there's no formula, no cookie cutter mold for what this movement will look like in your church. Ask God to show you what he wants it to look like there. Ask him to give you creativity and to show you how he wants to use you. And be sensitive to your season of life. God may not want you to add one more thing to your schedule at this point. To everything, there is a time and a season. And then remember that you won't always feel fruitful. We've heard the challenge earlier about opposition. There will be opposition. One of the ladies who's here, who's serving in a church in New York City, said to me recently, she said, Nancy, I hear all these women talking about the true woman movement in their church. And she says, it sounds incredible, but I'm going to tell you, in my church, we just have true woman nanoseconds. Maybe you feel that way. You say, there's no true woman movement in my church. I'm the only one, or there are just a few of us who have a heart for this. They're true woman nanoseconds. Well, praise God for the nanoseconds and ask God to multiply them. Look for what is there. Be thankful for the little things, the things that are happening. There are some women in your church, no doubt, you may not even know who they are. There may be two or three of them. They're probably older women who have been praying for revival, maybe for years. Find out who they are. Work with them, pray with them, believe God to multiply their number. Remember that there's opposition. And speaking of opposition, we had the salmon running in the creeks in our area in Michigan recently, and I want to just put up that video for just a little bit of it here. I went down to watch them on my lunch break one day and saw these salmon swimming up, trying to get up that waterfall. Watch there carefully. See it? And I was there for about maybe 30 or 40 minutes. I didn't see one make it up. They kept trying, they kept trying, but ultimately they do get up. There's opposition, but they're purposeful because they want to give life. They're willing to lay down their lives. And I heard that the females, by the time they make it to where they've laid those eggs, they are pretty beat up. It's a tough way to end, but it's for the sake of giving life. And I thought that was such a picture of the swimming upstream that we're called to do. Well, God has directed us to develop a tool as part of this movement to give us some of the biblical moorings for the movement. We call it the True Woman Manifesto. And I want to wrap our time by taking us back to that manifesto. Many of you are familiar with it. If you have it there in your Bible, you may want to pull it out. And three things that we want to be encouraging you to do with this manifesto. Number one, affirm it. Affirm it, read it, go on record, sign it. You're going to have an opportunity to do that shortly. This is not an inspired document, but it's a way of expressing core foundational truths. But then don't just affirm it, live it. Ask God to make it real in your life. And then number three, share it. Share it. We have copies you can take or with you. We have some big signable copies we'll be using in a minute. And you, when you leave, we don't have enough for everybody, but if you will take one of these, take it back to the women in your church and ask the women in your church to sign it. We'll like to we'd give you one of those signable copies as you leave today. The verse that I love about this is the Lord gives the word, Psalm 68:11. The women who announce the news, or as NASB says, the women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. We want you to share this message. The Lord gives his word, and then we as women want to announce that good news to others. And you just imagine, what if tens of thousands of people were living this way? Now, we're going to take an opportunity to read this manifesto, and I've invited several of the women who've participated with us this weekend to come and help me read it. And let me find my copy of the manifesto. And we're going to read the first part and ask you to follow along, make some affirmations, and then when we come to the second part, we're going to ask you to participate with us in affirming the, in saying yes, Lord, to that part of the manifesto. So this is a document we signed first in Schaumburg, Illinois in 2008. It's a personal and corporate declaration of belief, consecration, and are ladies ready? Yes, please. Let me get you ladies coming. This is a personal and corporate declaration of belief, consecration, and prayerful intent to the end that Christ may be exalted and the glory and redeeming love of God may be displayed throughout the whole earth. Now, as each of these women read this, some of them have signed it before, perhaps most or all of them, but I want to keep reaffirming this message in my heart, and I know many of you do as well. So as they read their sentence, then they're going to come over to this table and sign a copy of the manifesto, which as soon as we finish here, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that same thing, if that's what you would like to do. We're not putting words in anybody's mouth, but if that's on your heart, we're going to give you a chance to do that. So follow along and affirm in your heart as these women lead us in reading this first part of the manifesto.
We believe that God is the sovereign Lord of the universe and the creator of life, and that all created things exist for his pleasure and to bring him glory.
We believe that the creation of humanity as male and female was a purposeful and magnificent part of God's wise plan, and that men and women were designed to reflect the image of God in complementary and distinct ways. We believe that sin has separated every human being from God and made us incapable of reflecting his image as we were created to do. Our only hope of restoration and salvation is found in repenting of our sin and trusting in Christ, who lived a sinless life, died in our place, and was raised from the dead.
We realize that we live in a culture that does not recognize God's right to rule, does not accept Scripture as the pattern for life, and is experiencing the consequences of abandoning God's design for men and women.
We believe that Christ is redeeming this sinful world and making all things new, and that his followers are called to share in his redemptive purposes as they seek, by God's empowerment, to transform every aspect of human life that has been marred and ruined by sin.
As Christian women, we desire to honor God by living countercultural lives that reflect the beauty of Christ and the gospel to our world.
To that end, we affirm that Scripture is God's authoritative means of instructing us in his ways, and it reveals his holy pattern for our womanhood, our character, our priorities, and our various roles, responsibilities, and relationships.
We glorify God and experience his blessings when we accept and joyfully embrace his created design, function, and order for our lives.
As redeemed sinners, we cannot live out the beauty of biblical womanhood apart from the sanctifying work of the gospel and the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
하나님께서는 남성과 여성을 당신의 형상대로 동등한 값어치와 존귀함으로 창조하셨습니다. 그러나 그들의 수유하는 독특한 역할로 가정과 교회 안에서 그들의 기능을 수행하도록 되어 있습니다. Men and women are both created in the image of God and are equal in value and dignity, but they have distinct roles and functions in the home and in the church.
We are called as women to affirm and encourage men as they seek to express godly masculinity and to honor and support God-ordained male leadership in the home and in the church.
Marriage, as created by God, is a sacred, binding, lifelong covenant between one man and one woman.
When we respond humbly to male leadership and in our homes and churches, we demonstrate a noble submission to the authority that reflects Christ's submission to God, his Father.
Selfish insistence on personal rights is contrary to the spirit of Christ, who humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and laid down his life for us.
التشديد الأناني على الحقوق الشخصية مناقض لروح المسيح الذي تواضع بنفسه وأصبح خادما وضحى بحياته من أجلنا.
That was Arabic. And may it be true in the Arab-speaking world that God would give this heart, right?
Amen.
Now?
Amen. Human life is precious to God and is to be valued and protected from the point of conception until rightful death.
Children are a blessing from God. Women are uniquely designed to be bearers and nurturers of life, whether it be their own biological children or adopted children or other children in their sphere of influence.
God's plan for gender is wider than marriage. All women, whether married or single, are to model femininity and their various relationships by exhibiting a distinctive modesty, responsiveness, and gentleness of spirit.
Suffering is an inevitable reality in a fallen world. At times we'll be called on to suffer for doing what's good, looking to heavenly reward rather than earthly comfort. Sorry. For the sake of the gospel and the advancement of Christ's kingdom.
And this is Michelle Rickett, who is involved with Sisters in Service, ministering to oppressed women in other parts of the world. So that comes from her heart. Laura?
Las mujeres cristianas maduras tienen la responsabilidad de dejar un legado de fe, discipulando a las más jóvenes por medio de la palabra de Dios y sirviéndole de ejemplo a las futuras generaciones, llevando vidas cristianas de fructífera feminidad. Mature Christian women have a responsibility to leave a legacy of faith by discipling younger women in the Word and all in ways of God and modeling for the next generation lives of fruitful femininity.
And then, believing the above, we declare our desire and intent to be true women of God. We consecrate ourselves to fulfill His calling and purposes for our lives. By His grace and in humble dependence on His power, we will. And here's where I want to invite you to stand with me and with these other women. And I'm going to read each of these statements. And as I do, if it expresses the desire of your heart, then would you just say, "Yes, Lord," after each of these sentences? We will seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes, Lord.
We will gladly yield control of our lives to Christ as Lord. We will say, "Yes, Lord," to the Word and the will of God.
Yes, Lord.
We will be women of the Word, seeking to grow in our knowledge of Scripture and to live in accord with sound doctrine in every area of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
We will nurture our fellowship and communion with God through prayer, in praise, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, and supplication.
Yes, Lord.
We will embrace and express our unique design and calling as women with humility, gratitude, faith, and joy.
Yes, Lord.
You're dying on me there. We will seek to glorify God by cultivating such virtues as purity, modesty, submission, meekness, and love.
Yes, Lord.
That's good. We will show proper respect to both men and women created in the image of God, esteeming others as better than ourselves, seeking to build them up, and putting off bitterness, anger, and evil speaking. We will be faithfully engaged in our local church, submitting ourselves to our spiritual leaders, growing in the context of the community of faith, and using the gifts He has given us to serve others, to build up the body of Christ, and to fulfill His redemptive purposes in the world.
Yes, Lord.
We will seek to establish homes that manifest the love, grace, beauty, and order of God, that provide a climate conducive to nurturing life, and that extend Christian hospitality to those outside the walls of our homes.
Yes, Lord.
We will honor the sacredness, purity, and permanence of the marriage covenant, whether ours or others.
Yes, Lord.
We will receive children as a blessing from the Lord, seeking to train them to love and follow Christ and to consecrate their lives for the sake of His gospel and kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
We will live out the mandate of Titus 2 as older women modeling godliness and training younger women to be pleasing to God in every respect. As younger women receiving instruction with meekness and humility and aspiring to become mature women of God who in turn will train the next generation.
Yes, Lord.
We will seek opportunities to share the gospel of Christ with unbelievers.
Yes, Lord.
We will reflect God's heart for those who are poor, infirm, oppressed, widows, orphans, and prisoners by reaching out to minister to their practical and spiritual needs in the name of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And finally, we will pray for a movement of revival and reformation among God's people that will result in the advancement of the kingdom and gospel of Christ among all nations.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Well, the Lord has met with us, and I want us to pray for you and for this movement and for True Woman 12 and for your church and for God's glory to be expressed through you in the days ahead. So I want to ask you to stand, if you would, and then I'm going to, if you don't mind, ask you to come in, join hands across these aisles, just make one great big human chain. If you're in the back and you want to move up, or you just want you to get, just pull in and be close to each other, okay? Your books won't go anywhere. And then I'm going to ask Susan Hunt, you have a microphone? And Susan prayed. We had a call to pray together with the speakers last week, and just as I heard her pray, my heart was so grateful to have women.
It's okay to say old.
I think any age, women like this in the church are such a gift. And so I asked if she would close our time and lead us in just crying out to the Lord to do his work in you, through you, in us, through us, in the days ahead, in anticipation of the time 10 months from now when, Lord willing, we'll be back here in Indianapolis to believe God for a, man, I'm a mess. Susan, pray and thank the Lord and pray for these women. And then God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll look forward to seeing you back next September, Lord willing. Susan.
Our family verse is 2 Chronicles 15:12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul. This family has just done that. We've entered into a covenant as we have signed this manifesto to seek the Lord God with all of our hearts and all of our souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you are a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. Thank you that you have kept covenant with us by sending the Lord Jesus to meet every demand and to die in our place, to be the substitute for our sin. Father, I pray that by the power of your gospel, we will be covenant keepers. I thank you for this time of covenant renewal. Down through the ages, your people have gathered for times of covenant renewal, and how sweet it has been. Father, my mind just will not take it all in. As I look and I see these women and all the women they represent, who are standing strong in your truth and putting their names to what the world would say is such a radical statement. Father, we pray that by your grace, we will be those covenant keepers. We will be those true women. We can only do it by your grace, but we thank you for that. Make us so dependent upon you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in our hearts and move us beyond ourselves, do in and through us things that we can't even begin to imagine or to think to ask you to do. Father, we just pray that you will do it, that your kingdom will be advanced. May we display before the world those kingdom realities, those invisible realities of your calling for us as women. May we make those realities visible in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our churches, wherever you send us. And, oh Lord, I pray that you'll bring us back together as your family for that joyous covenant renewal for True Woman 2012. May it be a time when we come and we bring women with us. Lord, may we come in a large parade of women who are saying, come, Lord Jesus. Yes. Yes. But until you do, make us true women who are living and giving the legacy to the next generation.
Yes.
In the power, in the name, and to the glory of our God and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.